And there's a specific comment here that says, "The committee does not have the authority to investigate, review, or otherwise participate in matters involving specific police personnel or specific police-related incidents." So
I read that earlier today.
So to me, that's number one, contradictory to what we were set up to do. Now, I'm not saying, I understand, you know, confidentiality in the investigative process, but if we as a committee cannot say that we are aligned and that we believe that the disciplinary actions provided in these cases are accurate to what the determination was, because we don't know and we're not able to read it, how can we as a committee tell the community that and gain that trust? So that's really what my question is. And how can we move forward together in collaboration to build that trust and to create that transparency?
When did you guys see the letter that Latasha sent from someone in the community? So just a question, because I don't know. When you get those types of letters, what exactly do you do with them, or do we do with them? Like, how do we respond? And I guess this is in direct, this parallels what you've all been talking about. If you don't have if we don't have transparency ourselves, how are we supposed to even address that letter? Besides pat on the back, "We're so sorry."
Exactly. Like, I don't know what to say, you know. And another thing with this, in regards to the topic, is we find out about a lot of these incidences through the news. And to me, that CPAC has to be reactive to these officer-related shootings or deaths and ask if we heard about it on the media. And it seems like if we put the effort to put this whole CPAC in order, that we should actually be notified of these incidences immediately they've occurred. We should not have to ask about them in the meetings. I should not hear on the news and see on Yahoo that an individual was killed in Tacoma before the committee does. Like, to me, we've been set up, and I think it's in good faith, and I think we've done a lot of really good work, but I think the support could be better, and I think we can do better.
I think you're absolutely right, Crystal. Without real transparency and without anything else, this whole entire thing that we have here is really performative justice. Like, we're not really doing anything, and I don't get paid enough to be here to do that. And so as much as I love to be in the community and as much as I love to create relationships between folks that don't have relationships, there has to be like some sort of reciprocity. There's got to be some sort of, it's got to be a two-way street, or else you guys can do that in-house.
Right.
I was actually shocked that, because a few days ago when someone, I forgot who it was, sent the email saying, "Did you guys hear about this?" And I knew about it the day it happened. And then I knew I was on, you know, I knew I had applied anyway to this committee, and it just went through my head, "Oh boy, they're probably going to be on that." And then I was just shocked by I was like, they just found out about this? It was kind of shocking to me. And then since Manny's, you know, passing, there has not been any news. There's been nothing. And I don't even understand why it took 3 months for the officers to be put on administrative leave. It's those kinds of issues that the community wants to know about. Unfortunately, he was an extremely close person to someone I love. And so that's why I knew about it the day it happened. But this is this resonates like everything else around the country. Police put on administrative leave 5, 6, 7 months after an incident happens. Why is there just now an investigation? If you look at the Facebook, and I'm not a big social media fan, but when the link was sent out today for the mayor's speech, you could see what everyone was saying on Facebook. And I've seen way more than that from other people's social media because of the family member I had that was so close to him. And these are the questions people are asking. And it's not unlike what is asked around the country when these incidents happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you tell, I'm trying to get a understanding of what.
And people are looking to us, right? Like people, at least for the committee members that have been on here for a couple years, and you know, we've done some community outreach. I know Dana's done a lot of it. People come to us to ask these questions, and we have this burden of transparency as well, but we don't have anything to say. And you know, we don't get notified about these things. We don't get statements. We don't get updates on investigation timelines of an investigation has been started. So at least we could say that to our community, right? Like we don't have any real-time information. And you know, we were all put into this position for a reason and came here for a reason to help bridge that gap. But if we're not being communicated with and empowered to do that, what good are we?
I think that we've got some good conversation going, but at the same time, we're slightly off the topic that the meeting is designed to discuss. And that is whether our charge and our role are in line with what we should be doing.
Well, I'll chime in on that. I think that everything we've just talked about says that it's not in line. I mean, or at least we're not acting, we're not implementing it.
And if there are ideas about things that could be changed to more directly address the concerns in the community, we should follow the process to make that happen. But I think if we're going to change the way the objectives of the committee and the way the committee works, we have to go through a city process to do that.
I don't think we're changing the objectives of the committee. The objectives are what we're unable to execute because of lack of structural support,
right,
from the city and communication from the TPD. I mean, to me, the objectives are in line with what we should be doing. We should be doing all of this stuff. But I think because of some of the issues we've had with turnover and just participation in general in the CPAC, and of course, some of the stuff hasn't had this kind of movement in it, we haven't really had to force ourselves to look at it. And so that's really one of the reasons why I suggest this topic is we really need to look at what we're being asked to do, and we need to ask the city to support us in that, and we need to ask the TPD to help us do what we're being asked to do and what we're spending our time volunteering to do. So, you know, like I said, being proactive in communication with the CPAC instead of reactive could be something that's helpful. Absolutely. For us. So if there's any ideas about that, that's kind of what I want to focus on. And then potentially from this conversation, moving forward with requests to the TPD and to the city, and maybe we have more discussion about that comment in the bylaws that we aren't allowed to review these specific officers' complaints. I mean, maybe that's something we need to talk about. So I think we really need to come up with a list of action items and conversation items and continue to move forward. And then on Monday, you know, I think our agenda is going to be pretty packed for Monday's meeting because we've got a lot to go over, and then obviously updates on what's happening there.
Yeah, we have all the things that we haven't been able to achieve over the last couple months. So,
right.
So, Crystal, in regards to the charges in the charter, can you list those off one more time? And then does anybody from TPD want to jump in and just kind of chat about like the engagement piece, like on the police's end, if someone could just kind of answer to like how TPD is helping CPAC or like engaging in that relationship so that they can make these things happen.
Hi, this is Mike Akey. I'm the Assistant Chief for Administrative Services Bureau. So great conversations, great topics. And I would say that, you know, as you're talking about the changeover and such of personnel to include TPD, I would include myself in that group. So as you are becoming new and familiar with this process is in the charter, I am as well. But definitely open to those conversations about making those changes, as long as it's within, you know, the charter agreements and within those council resolutions and such. Yeah, I'm be very happy to be part of that, the change that needs to take place.
Maybe while we have everybody here, is there a specific process we need to go through? I know if we are planning on either trying to get any ordinances changed, we probably have to have the union rep at some point look over them so we don't create something that we can't get through, or I don't know, try to figure out some negotiation with that. And I guess I'm curious beyond that, what is the process to get an ordinance or our charge or something, like how do we get that changed? What do we need to do?
So I can speak to the council side of things. We would literally just write the resolution and do some campaigning, meeting with the council members one-on-one to explain what we're trying to do and why. And the main council members being, we might have to appear before CVS, Community Vitality and Safety Committee, Chair Blocker, and then a couple other council members I can't remember right now are on there, but we would meet with Blocker, probably present to CVS and tell them what we're trying to do, and then go before full council if Blocker agrees that with the changes that we're suggesting, go before full council. We would want to vet it with the police's union rep to make sure that they are things that we would actually be able to do that wouldn't impede on any of the agreements that they have with the city. And so I think Chief Aki can speak to that, but I can speak to the council side. And that's really just two steps, talking to Blocker and then going before council and asking them to accept the changes.
Yeah, I think you both of you made some very important observations that there are other stakeholders who are involved in this process, to include the union. And you know, and I'll just state the obvious. Sometimes the union itself that represents the collective, you know, that's the collective bargaining unit, and the police department are two separate entities. And it's, we have to acknowledge that and have to respect that process. And also some of these things that we're talking about, investigations and updates and such, I think one of the things we're finding out with what is one of the byproducts of the voter initiated and approved I-940 has to come with the independent investigation that's involved in, you know, in custody deaths and officer involved shootings. So I think it's caused or created more challenges when it comes to that, because in order for that that agency to be independent, they can't provide us the details. They can't provide us updates. We ask for timelines and such, but they are under their own operational tempo. And when they complete that investigation, they'll review it, forward it to the prosecutor's office and review it. And those two processes will remain independent without their requirement or any necessity for them to update us. So that's going to create some challenges that we're going to have to work through as well.
Can I ask you a question, Officer Akey? If I know you just said they, you know, to remain independent, they cannot offer updates and whatnot, and forgive me because I'm just curious, I'm just learning here. If that is the case, why is the sheriff's department, in just for an example, in Manny's case, doing news interviews talking about what was in his bloodstream and that he was on drugs and that he had underlying conditions? isn't that the same? I mean, these photo, these news interviews are being done about updates, but then we don't get any updates.
Yeah.
Right. No. So the to answer that question is this. So we do know, like, for this investigation on Mr. Ellis, we know it's the Pierce County Sheriff's Department that's investigating that. So they have all the information. So whether how they release it or what they release and such, it's not up to our purview, nor do we have a say-so in what they're releasing. A lot of times in the last week or so, right, we're getting the information that you guys are hearing, we're hearing at the same time regarding these situations. So I'm going to give an example. As you know, that the Tacoma News Tribune printed out the medical examiner's report prior to us even knowing that. We heard about it from the Tacoma News Tribune, that that was being released out. So we didn't even know the content of that. But I think the Sheriff's Department may have received it around the same time as the News Tribune. So some of those information that, that's coming out, they're speaking in behalf of that, but that is independent and without even consultation with the Tacoma Police Department.
Thank you.
So when you say us or we, you're talking about TPD, right? Not CPAC. And so maybe that requires us to have an additional piece and or additional layer in whatever we're doing so that whoever is doing that outside investigation, that we are able to have some kind of communication or something. I just feel like that's another layer that we need to add, and it's non-specific to TPD, obviously.
Right, and I think what's important to acknowledge is, you know, we're not looking to impede with the investigation, and we're not looking to get anything that would jeopardize it, but we're just looking to be communicated with so we can provide that transparency of what's happening. So I think you're right, Kira, like that's just another piece where we build a relationship with that entity and they just send us what they can, right? So we're not getting it all on the news. Like, to me, I understand why it's done that way and whatnot, but we shouldn't be not in the know, at least that something's happening.
Yeah.
I have a question. So I heard that there was an independent outside audit of Tacoma Police Department that the city of Tacoma had requested, where they basically, it's a national organization and they look at police departments and how they function and come up with suggestions of how the entity could be better. And I'm wondering if this is something that we would have access to, because that might speak to recommendations they have involving CPAC and how that the best way to utilize it. And because I know the Citizens Police Advisory and Oversight Committees are a nationwide thing that are becoming part of best practices. And so it wouldn't surprise me if it was spoken about on the suggestions as part of that audit.
So it was a police staffing study that was done.
Okay.
By an independent organization, and it's a public document, so I will get that out to you.
Sorry to have to ask this at this point, because we had a good discussion, but I was so excited to get the conversation started that I neglected to ask us to formally approve the agenda for tonight's meeting. So you all got a copy of the agenda, and it was to focus on the topic that we have focused on, but we technically need an approval of that agenda as part of this meeting. So if I could have a motion and a second, that would be great.
So move.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. We can go back to our discussion.
So I think we could talk a lot about this issue in depth, but I think really what I'm hoping to get is some actions and some questions moving forward that we can continue to push. So if anybody has any specific actions I think we should write those down and put them on the agenda to have whatever entity answer needs to answer those questions.
I think we have our first one, and you said it, Crystal.
Yeah. Which one? So many.
Crystal, I'm sorry I was late. I just got off another meeting. But what is it that you? What is? I think I can guess, but can you just quickly tell me what are we suggesting?
Sure. So did you get a chance to review the topic of the discussion, obviously, for the agenda?
Yes.
So we talked about the municipal codes that we are operating under and our mission statement to provide transparency and accountability and build relationships with the community. And also looked at the bylaws that do not allow us to review certain police complaints or incidences. And so I just wanted to bring the discussion on, do we have the authority and the power, or at least are empowered to do what we're being asked to do on this committee? And so it really, I think for the most part we are, but I think there's some pivotal things where we're not in the know and we're not being communicated with that are really causing a lot of issues within the community. And so I want to address that. And I want to address if the CPAC actually has the strength to do what we need to do.
So Crystal, just a suggestion. I don't know if we're going to have time. I think we've had really good discussion about what needs to happen. I don't know if we'll have time to do what needs to happen tonight, but I do want to ask, like, if you guys would be open to maybe scheduling or we can try to do it now because we do have the schedule till 7 o'clock, but going through what you just read and then maybe coming up with either identifying if we need to have a separate meeting with the police to figure out like how those relationships are currently working, or if it's not working, is there a way that we can get them to start working?
Right.
Yeah, like an action plan.
That's really what I think we need to focus on.
Sorry.
You're fine.
No, I was just asking Crystal, because we were talking about, because, you know, during independent investigations, how the sheriffs will come out with information that doesn't themselves get. And I was reading the bylaws. Would that fall under an ad hoc agency doing a report, or no? Because in the bylaws, it says something about you can have an independent, like an ad hoc agency, do a report that lasts for the duration of something that you are investigating or looking at. And when their report's finished, they're no longer. Did you guys read that in there?
Yeah, but I don't know that answer. Does anybody know that answer?
And I'm just I'm just wondering if Sheriff's Department could be considered an ad hoc agency, right? Or would that be something we would just put on the to-do list or the bullet list of things we need to see if we can accomplish or do separately? Because I'm wondering if that would fall under ad hoc.
I think ordinarily with officer-involved shootings, the Sheriff's Department is the independent agency that is authorized to do those investigations.
Right.
So, Alex, I have a recommendation. Latasha made a suggestion. I'm going to recommend, I don't know if we have time to do it now, but I'm going to recommend that we should sit down as a group or whatever and really comb over those documents and develop a list of questions and concerns that we have and then bring them back and see to get the answers from the people, the entities that we need to get them from. It'll never be done in an hour. We might as well just get ready for it. I'm ready for it. We might as well just get ready and sit down and just go through them, because I have a number of questions, but I'm not gonna say them right now because I've been listing them. So I think that's what we really need to do. That's my recommendation. And we're going to need.
That makes perfect sense. Sure.
I support that.
So do I.
Same.
Do we need like a committee that meets outside like we have had before? You know, for the policy, like the policy kind of committee, is that easier to kind of plan? And then whoever wants to be on it can kind of do that longer research and come up with additional things that we can add to it, add to the ordinance.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I'm good for that. I'm good with that.
Okay. So maybe, I don't know how to go about that. Tasha, do you think we should have people volunteer for that committee, or how do we need to
get it started?
How do we legally need to meet to create that document?
It would be perfect if you guys did a subcommittee, because then we wouldn't have to have public meetings, and we can just meet ad hoc or privately together. As long as we don't have a quorum. So we would set it at your guys' bylaws, I think, is a majority of the members. So 6 is a quorum.
Majority of the seated members, right?
Yep. So if we could get 5 volunteers.
5 or less in a subcommittee.
Okay. And then, so maybe someone makes a motion to form the subcommittee, or someone makes a motion to put this topic under the policy subcommittee that's already there. And then I will work with those individuals that volunteer to work on this project to get meetings scheduled to come through these documents.
I'll make the motion.
Establish a separate committee or to assign it to the policy committee?
It could be the, I'm good with that.
So the policy committee at this point, isn't that just Stephen and, or Stephen and who else is on the policy committee?
And Alex.
And Alex. So if we assign it to that committee, I think we definitely need to get more engagement from the rest of the group. So I don't know if that's another motion to put people in onto that committee, or if it's just a switch that we add administratively.
We can't put more than 5 people on the committee, but we can solicit input from the entire CPAC group.
Right. But you probably still want to put 5 people in that committee at this point. This is a big, and there's going to be some work that's put in. So I would recommend putting 5 people on it to get a bunch of different perspectives.
Absolutely.
That's something we can do on the administrative end, Crystal. So we would just need somebody to second Lewis's motion.
We can put that on the agenda for Monday to formalize that committee.
Okay. I second.
Thank you. Crystal. And then you want to wait, Alex, to formalize it, or do you want to just ask now who wants to?
We could ask now. I mean, we've already have the motion, so we could ask for full vote on the establishment of the committee and the people who want to join that committee that aren't currently on that committee.
If there's still room, I think somebody has to get a hold of Stephen to see if he's going to be able to stay on that. If not, we can have a 6th person,
an alternate.
Yeah, and then only 5 be present at the meeting, but I'd love to be on that committee.
Me as well.
I would volunteer as well, if there's room.
Was that Jennifer?
I think that takes us to 6, right?
Yes.
Including Stephen, right?
Right.
So that's Kier, Crystal, Jennifer, and Stephen, and then who was the other person that's on it?
Lewis.
Okay. Yes. So
that's 5. Who would be the alternate if Stephen's not available?
I'll the alternate. I don't know what I'm doing, but
okay. It's okay. We're gonna walk through it together. Okay, so just the alternate. Awesome. So I'll reach out to you in a separate email, and I'll include the alternate in that email just so that we can set up a separate meeting for us to meet and comb through these documents and just kind of come up with a list of ideas on how we can work together. Would anybody from the police department like to volunteer to be part of that, or is that going to be Carl coming to those still?
Yes, ma'am, I can come to those.
And if he's not there, I'll be there.
Okay. Thank you. I'll just CC both of you guys on those communications.
And we could solicit feedback from the community for the committee too.
Absolutely.
When you move to public comment, I think there are some people that have indicated they would like to speak.
Okay.
Right.
Have we reached that point or do we have more conversation?
I think we might be there.
Might be.
I think so.
I just have a question. If we are asking to do things that are already in the bylaws, that's considered policy, but we're just trying to see if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're trying to make sure that you have the proper support to do what you're supposed to be doing. And then if not, creating an action plan to make sure that we're doing our due diligence.
Right, then that's what I was asked. Like, that's the second part, right? So,
yes, yep.
Okay, got it.
Okay, then we will open it up for public comment.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I should have introduced myself when someone asked for caller one. I think that's probably who I am. My name is Carol Reichard, and I have been listening to your meeting and taking notes for the League of Women Voters as an observer of your meeting. And so I will write this up and give a voice your concerns in our league newsletter. And I hope that for Monday's meeting, you will send another invitation to the league office and I will listen in and write it up and get you out there in print.
Carol, if you could spell your name for the city manager's office, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. First name is C-A-R-O-L, Carol. Last name is R-I-K-E-R-D, like David, and I am the observer for the League of Women Voters.
Well, I'm glad I asked for that spelling because that isn't what I would have guessed.
I know. It's a very simple name and very hard to spell.
I don't record the public commenters as with their names. I just put commenter number one, so I don't know if they want to be identified, you know.
Oh, I really don't care. I needed to introduce myself to you, but I'm a non-techie person and this is really, really weird. So I'm learning along with all of you how to do this.
Well, we appreciate the league's interest in what we're doing.
Well, what you're doing is important. So let us give you a little publicity.
Do we have any other public comment?
Yes. My name is Kristen. I am curious if there is always the presence of a police officer in a subcommittee that reviews actions that involve police officers.
It depends on the nature of the subcommittee.
If that is actually standard or even conducive to some of these investigations.
That's a good question. I was thinking, I had that question myself when we invited the officers just now, and I don't know if it's necessary as we're going over the ordinances to have that you all be there. I think when we get to the stage where we are actually making suggestions, maybe that's a better time to kind of go over it. But I think we need to have freedom to speak and be candid about concerns and suggestions. So I would suggest that maybe we wait on until we get to a place where we're able to share in that.
Thank you. I don't think you need a motion for that. I think that's more administrative. So I'm just going to take that down and move with it. Is that okay? CPAC?
Sure.
PR's a suggestion. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, absent any other public comment, I guess we're ready for a motion for adjournment.
I have a public comment.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My name's Nikki, and I live here in Tacoma, in South Tacoma. I was wondering, how does this board engage with the community and getting information out that these meetings are actually happening? Because I had no idea about when your meetings are or anything, or, you know, now everything's on Zoom, so we can't just go to the city council building when you're having a meeting. We have to get the meeting ID, the password, and everything. How do we get access to this information regularly? Is there some kind of something set up through social media or something so that we could engage?
So, Nikki, by law, the agendas are posted 24 hours in advance, according to the Open Public Meetings Act. The agenda was posted on the website and had the meeting ID and password. You can always check CPAC's webpage and look for their meeting agenda, and it'll have that information on how you can log on.
So this meeting was a special meeting. So how do I know to check your website 24 hours in advance for special meetings then? I'm unclear about that.
Tasha, were you about to answer, or do you want me to?
You can answer.
So the clerk's office usually sends out an update if there are special meetings, but I'm going to be honest, we're learning, because this isn't the normal way that we would have meetings either. And so we're trying to, this is our first, I think this is our first virtual CPAC meeting. And we haven't had a meeting since the city buildings closed. So this was our first one, and because of the situation that's the current situation that we're in as a city, that we decided to have a special meeting. So usually the meetings are scheduled, and you would know that they're always going to be there, and then you could sign up for the list so that you would get the updates of when these meetings happen.
Yeah, except on holidays, the committee ordinarily meets the second Monday of the month.
Okay, and then do you guys ever do like any kind of public outreach? Like when you create your recommendations and you send your recommendations to city council to be adopted, you know, whether they're yay or nay, whatever they do, is there some kind of process in engaging with the community so that the community can come and support this board with their recommendations?
So this board's any recommendations this board would make would go to the CVS committee, which is the Community Vitality and Safety Committee. And in that committee meeting, then that would be an open public meeting where this group could invite people to attend that meeting. And then that committee would have to take it to the overall city council. It couldn't come from CPAC directly to council, if that makes sense. Because so the way that the structure is, you have the boards and commissions, they report to one of the four committees of the council, which is CVS. I apologize, I am not my sharpest today. It is quite a day and I'm trying to multitask about seven things right now. But you have CVS, IPS, which is Infrastructure Planning and Sustainability. You've got Government Performance and Finance, and then there's one more. Economic Development Committee. So all of the boards and commissions report to one of those committees, whereas where council hears from this committee what they want to happen. Those meetings are open too. So this group would notify people that they were bringing something, or this information would show up on the CVS agenda, and people could come there. But this CPAC has actually done a great job of being out in community functions and events, and several people on the committee have been out and handing out cards and talking about the work of CPAC and inviting people in, and that's been one of the big charges of this group since I became the executive. Oh, well, not because I'm the executive, but since I've been involved with the group, that has been a constant conversation about how to get out and how to get more people in and having more of a presence online and stuff.
And then I have one more question. So I live in District 5. Am I supposed to communicate with the person on this board from District 5?
You can communicate with anybody on this committee that you would like to, and you can attend any meeting that you want to, and you can make comment at public comment whenever you would like. Okay. So you don't have to talk to your representative. It's just the makeup of the board means that there's someone from each district on the board, but you don't have to specifically talk to your rep. You could talk to any person that's on the committee.
Okay, I see. I also wanted to commend you all for voicing your concerns about this committee tonight. I know that can be difficult, you know, especially since you're dealing with you know the police force, and with them having be on the line tonight. I know that could be difficult to talk about these things, because I want this committee to be recognized for its purpose. And not, you know, because you guys are here so that we have a voice in the community. And when you guys are unable to articulate for the community, then we don't have a voice. So I just want to commend you all for sharing your frustrations tonight. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate all of the comments that you've had, Nikki, as well as everyone else, in terms of the work of the committee. Okay, any other public comment? Absent that, a motion for adjournment, please.
Give me 2 more seconds. I think there was one more person that has their hand raised, and I muted them while we were talking. So I'm going to
see them. That on my screen. So
yeah, I got you. Just a second, okay? I'm going to unmute them.
I'm unmuted, I think. Hello?
You are unmuted.
No longer muted.
Okay. Hi. For the record, my name is Carol Kent, K-I-N-D-T. And I do want to commend you. I'm friends with one of the people on your committee. I understand some of the frustration, and I empathize and sympathize with you for that. I have some general questions, and I don't know if the police officer is still on this chat or has he left.
There are a couple officers still on.
Okay. I'd like to ask a couple of things, you know, not only involving this most recent case with Manuel, but also even 3 nights ago, and this had to do, and it just was over the city line, on 72nd, so that one was Pierce County. But, you know, I've been learning recently that the City of Tacoma Police Department doesn't utilize webcams or any other kind of video recording. And I know that that's been a problem in the past. You know, this is only the most recent. It's not an isolated incident that had there been some kind of video recording, the public would have been aware, and it would help both the committee and also the public to have knowledge of what is going on. You know, I witnessed personally 2 years ago when friends of mine, one family had two teachers in the family and another person be beaten down and arrested in front of the Northwest Detention Center after a peaceful protest at the Northwest Detention Center. I mean, it was instigated by the Tacoma Police Department. It was not violent in any way, shape, or form. In fact, there were Indigenous tribal members down there in prayer, drumming and in prayer. And within seconds after that prayer circle closed, there was one action by one juvenile, and then several arrests were made. People were put in jail overnight. They were released without charges because there were no charges. Yeah. Yes.
Ma'am, I have to jump in. I'm sorry. This is a special meeting, so we have to, by law, stick to the agenda topic, which is the committee's charges and powers as it's granted by the city charter. So we can take public comment on those items, but if you want to speak to body cams and stuff like that, you can come to the Monday meeting and we can talk.
Okay. And what time is it? Oh, I'm sorry. And this reminds me what.
She muted herself. I didn't mute her.
Wow. Okay. The Monday meeting will take place at the usual monthly meeting time, 6 p.m. And it will, Monday's meeting will also be a Zoom meeting. So the information for the meeting is publicly posted, and anybody who wants to take care, will take part, is welcome to do that on Monday. Any other raised hands, Latasha?
No, sir.
Okay. I will entertain a motion for adjournment and look forward to everyone's return on Monday.
So move.
Second.
Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposition or abstentions? Motion approved. Good night, everyone. We'll see you all again on Monday.
2 seconds. Who was that second for the adjournment?
Me, Jennifer.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. Thank you.
It was nice to meet all of you. Bye.
Welcome to the committee, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here tonight. And the public, thank you for coming.